welcome to the Fordcast, a Harrison Ford podcast where we go through all of Harrison Ford's movies in order so you don't have to.
Right.
I am Lauren Muhlberger.
And I am Rachel Leishman, and I'm eating on mic because I'm hungry.
Not a new thing for the podcast.
Nope.
But new for the podcast in person is our special guest. Special guest, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Crystal Beth. I am the special guest watching a pizza being eaten. Mm-hmm. In front of me, it is literally disappearing. It is like a magic trick.
My magic trick of pizza.
Everyone is wishing that it's a visual podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they can
see
me eating
video.
Well, the Kevin Pollak Chat Show calls itself a podcast, and it records itself with video. Yeah. And we have the option of doing both. So that's what I was
thinking. I have a podcast that I stream live on Twitch while we record.
There you go.
We can also do it. That we still call a podcast, but we actually call it a radio show now. We call it a podcast.
Well, radio show.
Podcasting is radio now.
Yeah.
This is the golden age. We're like Jack Benny and Burns and Allen and
Bob
Hope.
We're the talkies.
We like talking.
Wow. We like talking all the time.
And
my
voice
squeaked.
Talking about Harrison Ford because that's why we're here.
It is why we're here.
And Rachel, you want to tell everybody with pizza in your mouth what the movie is that we're talking about?
Yeah. We're talking about 6 days and seven nights, which that means they crash landed on a night. Because there's seven nights, but only 6 days.
See, I always thought this movie was called 6 Days and Seven Nights. I didn't realize it was just called
Six Days, Seven Nights.
So I've probably referred to it wrong on the podcast.
I think I just said it wrong.
You did just say it wrong.
I was like, I think
but
I just said it wrong.
You got the gist. It's like the difference between 28 Days and 28 Days Later.
Oh.
28 Days is a movie about rehab. 28 Days Later, movie about zombies. So big difference.
Extra word. I always thought 28 Days was the prequel to 28 Days Later.
No.
Technically, it could be. It's just the day in life of someone in rehab and then the zombie apocalypse
happens. So Sandra
happens.
Bullock is going to eventually be fighting zombies?
Yeah.
I think it could work. You should all write a treatment and send it off to somebody important.
Yeah.
First of all, then I'll write a treatment.
So 6 Days and Seven Nights is directed by Ivan Reitman, who wrote or directed, I should say, some movies you may have not heard of, like Meatballs and Animal House and Ghostbusters and Twins and Dave. Just a couple of movies that maybe you've never heard
of. I love
Dave. Dave's my favorite.
What one's Dave?
Oh, Dave was a movie where Kevin Kline and Sigourney Weaver were the president and the first lady, and Kevin Kline was a guy who looked like the president and stood in for him, but then when the president has a stroke on top of Laura Linney, which actually literally happens, they have the fake Dave stand in for the president, and then he falls in love with the first lady, and he changes the world with Charles Grodin. That's pretty much the gist of it.
Wow. So he had to give up his identity?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Wow. I know this isn't a podcast about Dave.
I would do
I'm
a podcast
but
about Dave.
Wasn't it right around American President, too? Like, it was like when we were all making, like, romance movies about the president.
No, yeah, I actually believe that there should be a triple feature of Dave, the American President, and guarding Tess. That would be, like, my dream night. I will host
what
it.
Year
and give
did that, what year did Dave come out? Did it come out around Mars Attacks? Because you should put that in with your president.
I don't know. It was in the 90s. I know that.
I think it was 93, but I could be wrong because it's not a podcast about Dave, so I didn't write it down. But some people also might know Ivan Reitman as the father of Jason Reitman, who did Juno and Thank You for Smoking and Up in the Air.
Well, that's a talented
Up in the Air
family.
Is a good movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Music is by Randy Elderman, who did Billy Madison, The Mask, My Cousin Vinny, Twins, Ghostbusters 2, and True Beverly Hills.
Billy Madison.
Wow. You know what? Some movies I forget they even have a score underneath.
Well,
like Billy Madison. What music was there ever in it?
When the penguin is walking, there's like a boom, boom.
Oh, that's right.
Well, I was paying attention to the music because I had just listened to a podcast where what's his name? Oh, John Landis. Speaking of Animal House, was talking about that he wanted a serious score to Animal House. And it was before that happened that there was always comedic scores to comedies and they kept bucking him on it. And I hadn't thought about that. And he's right that like from then on, it was like you actually scored it a little more seriously than just like
as
Pink Panther movie.
Ground your comedy.
Yeah, Dill.
With your music, little friends.
So I know that you particularly, I'm pointing to Crystal Beth, because again, it's a podcast. asked to be a part of this movie. This is the first time that Rachel and I have seen this movie.
Really?
So, no, it's not.
Oh, it's not?
No. I watched this movie when it came out in theaters.
Oh, never mind. Okay. So I was misunderstood. So this is the first time that I've seen it. Why don't the two of you tell your personal stories about seeing it for the first time then?
So the first time I saw it, I was with my dad, and my dad and I went and saw it in the theater and then subsequently rented it several times as well. Because I really liked this movie growing up. And it could just be that it was Harrison Ford, but the whole thing, I really liked the idea of like getting shipwrecked somewhere with someone mm-hmm. and possibly falling in love with them because no one loved me. And I was like, maybe if someone's stranded on an island, I can get them to love me forever. But that never happened. And then I found someone that did love me because he's blind. I'm just kidding. No, he can see. He can see. But he, so I was watching that, and I also have a weird thing with Harrison Ford, which these two ladies know, but your listeners may not. He looks exactly like my dad.
Well, you talked about it on our Geek episode.
Yeah.
But then she then sent us pictures.
But then I sent a picture off of camera, and everyone was like, oh my God. And I was like, is it weird that I love him? Is it weird that I'm super into Harrison Ford and he looks exactly like my dad?
Yeah.
It is.
That's like me being like, oh, wow, Jeff Bridges is hot.
Because he is hot.
No, he looks like my father. I'm like, and every once in a while, Chris Pine looks like Jeff Bridges, and I'm like, no! Stop it.
You know what they say, that girls look for their daddy.
That's true.
Oh, don't say daddy.
Sorry. That was the wrong choice of words.
You look like my daddy.
Wrong choice of words.
Oh, daddy. Oh, I called my boyfriend daddy once, and I was like, oh, God. It was a joke. And even as a joke, I was like, oh, what are you doing, daddy? And then I was like, ew. I was scraping off my tongue with my hands. I'm like, am I a disgusting monster?
I think I did once tweet. I was like, if Chris Pine wanted me to call him daddy, I would. I wouldn't like it, but I would. It's like what I tweeted exactly. And I was like, oh, I don't even like that tweet.
Sacrifices.
Well, I like this movie. I liked that they fixed the plane with bamboo.
And he is shirtless a lot in this movie.
And they start there like MacGyver. She's like, aren't you one of those guys that you give them a pocket knife and a toothpick and they go out and they build you a shopping mall? I like that he actually ends up doing that.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
I like it.
Did it work?
No. It gives me the feels of childhood.
So yeah, I have to say that watching it, I had a very nostalgia for like romantic comedies from the 90s.
Yes.
That I didn't realize that I had. I feel like as we've been going through these movies, I'm realizing, oh, this reminds me of a time that I didn't realize that I missed.
Yeah. And I also want to be very clear. I do not think this is a good movie. I think that this is actually a bad movie. I can understand why it has the rating it has. It's like 30-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's not perfectly written, and I think that the characters aren't well-defined, and it's very predictable, and 90s romance movies. That's like what that was.
The career girl wearing dressed all in black.
You could tell she's important because she's got her phone in her hand. She's talking real fast. And then she walks in and then she finishes her conversation and she gets off the phone with the other person. Yeah. That is annoying. Also, the fact that she can't take care of herself. I never really liked that, even as a little girl, having, you know, someone's going... If I got lost in the woods, I would know what to do. She's like, oh God, a plane, and she goes and gets the flare gun and falls. And
that's interesting, which we can talk about a little more later, but I listened to watched a interview with Anne Heche, and she said that she felt that they were pushing her to be a little bit more feminine because they were concerned, or she thinks, being a strong woman reminded everybody that at the time she was a lesbian.
Well, that was something, and I mentioned this when I was like, I want to talk about this movie.
Yeah.
It made me very confused, and I know acting is acting, and I'm not a dumb person, and I was probably 14 when this came out, but knowing that she was a lesbian and with Harrison Ford on screen, my brain couldn't wrap around the fact that it wasn't me on screen with Harrison Ford making out with him because I would actually want to.
And it that's was a like, whole nother ballgame. That has nothing to do with it. Like,
you were just jealous of her.
I was. But no, it came down to my brain wrapping around an actor. I was like, she has to act and she has to pretend she wants to kiss him. And I was like watching it, expecting to see her like something about it that I wouldn't believe. About her kissing a boy if she didn't want to, because I equated it to me kissing a girl, which I didn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, she's really good. She looks happy right now.
Oh, and then we learned all about Anne Heche.
Well, yes, we did. And for maybe for those of our listeners who are not familiar with what happened at the time, but it is sort of a really big deal in the history of entertainment, I think, and in LGBTQ history. Because this was also at the exact same time that she was about to be offered the movie, which Anne Heche had to audition for, which was very rare for her at the time, is she started dating Ellen DeGeneres, who had just come out and then was going to come out on her TV show. And she was actually advised by Anne Heche, by her handlers or her agents, that she should not go to the premiere of her new movie, Volcano, with Ellen, because they would probably pull it. And she said, nope. Yeah, she said eventually she fired them, wishing she had done it a little bit sooner. But she said, no, I love this woman, and I'm going to go to my premiere with her.
Yeah. Yeah, but then Anne Heche also turned around and then was like, I was never a lesbian. And you were like, what are you talking about?
Did she say that, though, or did she just... Because I know that she has only dated men and married men afterwards.
No, I think she's...
Because I did not find her say
I
that.
I remember, and maybe this was a 90, whatever happened in the 90s... But I remember her being like, no, I was never a lesbian. And that was like a huge ordeal. But I don't, like, I haven't looked it up. I don't remember.
But I mean,
I remember something happening.
But here's also the thing, too. I listened to a very interesting interview with Sarah Paulson. And she did not want to use that moniker. She said that she says that, you know, sexuality is fluid and she's in love with who she's in love with.
No. But Anne Heche's was like bad. Like, it wasn't like she brushed under the rug like it never happened. Where Sarah Paulson has been in like open relationships, like. That's a whole nother ballgame. This was Anne Heche being like, it never happened. You're like,
I remember it exactly like you do, where it's not, I don't remember it that she said it didn't happen, but I remember her saying something along the lines of like, it didn't matter in her life.
Yeah.
Something
like,
it was bad. And that was when she just like,
I never saw this movie because I didn't like Anne Heche. And I hate to say that about people I do not know, but I was such Ellen fan.
Yeah.
And when you're young, you can't really like sort of separate. And I also was a big Steve Martin fan, and she had broken both their hearts.
That's a good reason to hate her.
That's also, that makes me question their choices in women. Both of them.
Here's something really interesting about Anne Heche. She has been a muse for many people. There is a Lindsay Buckingham wrote a song about her.
Lindsay, what the fuck? What the fuck, Lindsay?
And again, like, I only really knew her through a lot of Steve Martin's work as well, because if you read his one acts, there are at least two one acts, I have them here, which she is a character in, and is not portrayed very well. And in Bowfinger, supposedly, he never would admit to that, but supposedly in Bowfinger, the Heather Graham character is based on her.
Wow.
And they're not flattering portrayals.
I want to be a muse. I think I'm cooler than Anne Heche. Mm-hmm.
They're not flattering, though.
I don't care. No. I want attention. Good attention, bad attention. Stop ignoring me.
I don't care. Here's my thing. I have no problem saying I don't like people. I don't like Anne Heche. I don't like David Schwimmer.
Yeah.
So this movie is hell. As a kid,
someone with a mouth wide open all the time.
As a kid, though, here's my thing about this movie. For years, I was like, oh, I love that movie. Because in my head as a kid, I loved that movie.
Yeah.
And I think it might be the same thing where it's like, you're trapped on an island with Harrison Ford. You're running. And I was significantly younger than you when this came out. Because I was like, it's what, 97?
98.
So I was 7. And so my dumb ass was like, this is great. They're in a plane crash. And I liked this movie. And then come 3-4 months ago, whenever I was watching this movie, I was like, wow, I don't like this movie.
Yeah.
I feel like that happens a lot, where you watch movies as you're a kid, and then you look back and you go, oh my God, what was I thinking?
Thank God, my taste, it's refined.
Yeah.
I was watching it for this, because I hadn't watched it in a while, and I was like, cool, I'm so excited, I get to watch this. And I found myself, halfway through the movie, it was on in the background, and I was on Facebook.
That's not a good sign.
Like, I was watching it, I was listening. I also had seen it so many times that I was remembering it more and more. But there's just so many parts of it. Like, the part where she's, like, where he cheats on her. And he's like, I thought you were dead. I was like, she was gone for a week.
Like, not
even gone for a week.
I have to say something that I noticed, because I did know that was going to happen, even though I hadn't seen it.
Of course.
I mean, it's also obvious. But, like, there were little hints. Like, he clocks the girl with the huge breasts and makes a joke about silicone. Uh-huh. And as soon as Harrison Ford's girlfriend gets on the plane, he's like, oh. So I was like, oh, yeah, you're a jerk.
Yeah. That thinks he's romantic. That's the worst. But I mean, yeah. I didn't really think about the silicone thing because when that happened, that's pretty much how my boyfriend and I sit on the beach. We just watch people go by and talk about their boobs. We both really love boobs.
Boobs are great.
And I'll look at, and John will be like, are those fake? Those are fake. Those are fake. Those are fake. Those are fake. Those are real. We like those. Those are real. Look at those. Look at those. Crystal's boobs. Crystal, look, 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 look. Yeah. And we'll like slap each other when we're walking. We're like, titties.
Oh, you have a common hobby.
Yeah,
a
common hobby.
You like boob watching.
There's so many shapes and styles and like.
One is bigger than the other.
Yeah. And sometimes they're like really big and flat down. And some of them, they're really big and like up by your neck. And they're crazy.
This is funny. We're talking about this because then there's also that line where she's like, my tits or my breasts?
My tits are fine.
My tits are fine. Yeah. I love the word tits.
She has great boobs.
Those little I love the word tits.
The what kind?
The word tits.
I like the word tits.
I like it a lot.
You know what this movie doesn't like?
What?
Great dialogue.
Oh, yeah, no.
There's a lot of sexual innuendo between Harrison Ford and his plane.
Here's the thing. I wouldn't know because I told Lauren this morning, I went, oh, good. I re-rented this movie because I had never finished it when I was re-watching it like a couple months ago. Maybe it was even like last year. I don't remember, but I remember not finishing this movie. And then when I rented it off iTunes again, it started where I left off and went, oh, good, because I'm not rewatching any of that.
Good.
And
that's
so I just
so
watched
smart.
It from right where I left off and continued. So
technology!
Then I told Lauren, I went, so there is one thing that I distinctly, like, I don't know how they come in, and I wasn't intrigued enough to go back and figure it out. I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care. We'll talk about it, and I'll figure it out then.
Oh, quickly before we go on, I do want to say that Harrison Ford did call Anne Heche and wanted to be clear that any rumors or anything that was out that he had a problem with her being in a relationship with a woman, that he did not have a problem with it, and he wanted to be very clear about that. And he let Ellen and Anne stay in his house in Wyoming to escape mm-hmm. the paparazzi.
Oh, yeah. Ellen talks about that all the time.
Yeah.
Ellen talks about it all the time because she talks about how she flew on his plane because she said it to Carrie Fisher and she goes, I'm not flying on a plane. Or like something.
Oh, really?
I forget what interview it was, but there was someone she was talking to. No, maybe it was Harrison Ford. I don't remember. Whatever. It was on Ellen. She was talking about flying in the thing, and it was funny because they never brought up why she had flown. And like they were just like, yeah, I flew in your plane before. And it was never.
That's great.
Oh, yeah, when I was with Anne, it was never that. It was just, I flew in your plane.
Well, Harrison called the movie, see what you think of this, African Queen meets Dumb and Dumber, except it's pretty smart. I don't think it's African Queen meets Dumb and Dumber.
Unless it's pretty smart.
Unless Harrison Ford never saw Dumb and Dumber and he just took the title. But I did not see it that way. I could see the African Queen part. And he's always compared to Bogey as we've gone through his career.
I can see how he would compare it to Dumb and Dumber because I think that he thinks he was super funny and slapstick in this. Like, you know that he's really excited to do what he's doing, but
he wasn't consistent. Like, there's a point where he just, like, does, like, a pratfall, and I'm like, oh, there's gonna be more of this. And it wasn't.
Oh, you mean, like, when he gets fucking blown up and somehow has shrapnel on his chest, and he goes, falls down, and you're like, what was that?
That, to me, was a serious part. That was
right?
The end.
No, that was serious, like, but he goes, if you listen, he went,
yeah.
He flies away, and I'm like,
he flies up into the air.
But also, how, like, I don't understand how the shrapnel that, I don't even think it was the shrapnel from the bomb.
It was sand, is what I think it was. It was this sand gave him a really crazy
sand burn. He had a
sand
infection.
Yeah.
I was like,
it's a Star Wars thing.
Yeah, I was like, just have, like, a piece of metal in his chest or something. Like just
or
glue one on.
Show him, like, flying into, like, the plane that had something, like, sticking up. And so he's like, oh, no, this isn't my chest. Like, give me something other than all of a sudden she rolls him over. He has a bunch of blood. And you're like,
yeah, I was surprised.
Where did it come from?
It was that much of a wound. That surprised me.
Yeah.
Oh, it didn't surprise. Or my favorite part is, we're going to go through this whole movie because it's insane. But my favorite part's at the end where he is unconscious and then she goes, oh, Quinn, and then he wakes up again. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, no.
All she needed to do was say his name the whole time.
And then he's like, what? Like, what? Who have you ever woken up who was unconscious because they're bleeding before?
He could have been in and out of consciousness.
No,
but I'm not saying
baby was
done.
Crashing into the water kind of jogged his brain for a second.
How about this? Do we want to hear who were the other potential women who could have been in this movie?
Yeah, let me see if I would have liked it better.
Some of them will sound familiar to us. Nicole Kidman.
Oh.
Yeah.
She was like 19.
No, was she? No, 93. No, she was like either right about to divorce Tom Cruise or was just with Tom Cruise.
No, she was with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
They didn't get divorced till late 90s.
Okay, so
that's another person I don't. That's another person I don't like.
This is 98, though. We're in the late 90s.
But the casting and all this, it was probably like 94. No, so she would have.
The casting was just when Ellen came out of the closet. So it was actually like
90. She's 50 now. So minus.
Oh my God, the internet. You did it.
I had the internet.
She's
So what's 50 minus whatever the year is minus 1998?
I'm bad at math.
So that's 20, say.
So 30.
So she was 30.
Oh okay. My God.
Okay, still, he was like.
Anne Heche was 28, so, you know, 28,
30. What?
Juliette Binoche was an option.
Oh, she's cool.
Andy McDowell.
Yes.
That's fine.
And again, we have another pairing of him and Sandra Bullock, which I don't get. We found out previously that when they were thinking of a different, Indiana Jones before 4, they were thinking of an idea of pairing him with Sandra Bullock, and I don't see him having chemistry with her. I don't know.
Get it.
Julia Roberts, which I feel like they just try to get Julia Roberts in every movie in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
And then
she could have done it. She would have been so sweet.
Kristen Scott Thomas, who eventually will be in Random Hearts, and there will be 3 times that they tried to do movies together. So it would have been older, but it would maybe be more age appropriate.
Yeah, especially.
I would have been okay with that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would have been as comedic as Anne Heche did it, but
I would have loved that to have an older, like.
I would have loved a Judy Dench,
like an old woman that seduces a younger old man.
Just give me Helen Mirren again. Even Helen Mirren,
Helen Mirren can do no wrong, though.
Here's, I don't think anyone can save this. I was just tried and it didn't work.
Oh gosh, guys, Nicole Kidman's anniversary was this week with Keith Urban. 11 years together.
Aww.
By the way,
that's amazing.
Can we just talk about what love is?
Not
Nicole. No, I don't want to talk about that.
Kidman and Tom Cruise.
I could just sit here talk about Allison Janney for like 2.5 hours.
I forgot she's in this.
She's so good.
She's in it for 2 seconds, boss? And she's one of the best parts. She's her boss. And then Amy Sedaris has the best back acting I think we've seen so far.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, I'm watching it, but I couldn't believe it. I heard her voice, and I knew instantly it was Amy Sedaris. And for anyone else who doesn't know, who's seen the movie, hopefully was watching and listening, excuse me, to us, she carries flowers.
They're heavy, too. That's a big flower arrangement.
But how devastating must it be to be like, oh, I'm in this big movie with Ivan Reitman, and then they cut out all of her close-ups.
Does
she even had any?
Yeah, I was like, she might have just been a glorified extra.
Yeah.
Well, no, she was not. Because she is credited, she spoke. If you're an extra, you can't speak. It's a legality, things like that. But what's also interesting is that this is sort of around the time when Amy Sedaris sort of like hit for mainstream to know her. And she had just done something called Exit 57 with Colbert and several people who eventually went on to create Strangers with Candy the next year.
Oh.
So she was like just on that cusp when she got this.
It was the flowers that did it.
The flowers?
I think it's the beret. Personally, it's the beret.
I need to get the flower gig.
Yeah.
Who do we contact to get flower gigs?
That's how you get famous. Good.
You need to get headshots where you were carrying flowers.
It's just the back of my head.
And it's just back of your head and then the beret. And then she was probably making awesome cupcakes as well because it's Amy Sedaris.
I love cupcakes.
And then
that's not true. I don't know why I said that. I don't like cupcakes.
You wanted to be yes. Small you were yes anding.
I was yes man. I was being a yes man.
You were being the yes man, and you were like, no, but I don't.
But you know what? Actually, please don't get me cupcakes.
Mailing them to us would be hard. So yeah, please don't send
just
us cupcakes,
Venmo
guys.
Me, and I can go buy myself some cupcakes.
So also interesting. This is the first time in a motion picture that an actor has flown a plane on camera.
Oh, surprise, surprise, it's Harrison
They really
Ford.
Had to push it, though. Like, the insurance company was like, oh, I don't know. And you're really supposed to have a commercial license to be able to fly on camera. But they persuaded them.
Now, that wouldn't happen.
Oh, no.
The insurance would be like, hell fucking no. He's not even flying the plane in general.
If this was made 2 years later, he would have already had his first crash. So, His first plane crash was in 99.
All right.
So,
well, what we learned from Air Force One is that around this time, and I don't know if he did it for this movie, but he started to say that he would pay the insurance bond if he got hurt. Or really, as Charlie Rose said, your estate would pay the insurance bond because you would probably be dead. But that was his way of sort of getting out of it because he just desperately wanted to be able to fly. But also, the people on set said that, you know, they always saw him going over manuals and always, like, being up to date on what was happening and really, you know, takes flying very seriously.
Hey, I read books on improv all the time and I still suck at it. So just because you're reading manuals on a plane doesn't mean you know how to do it.
Yeah, you can study it all you want. Doesn't mean you're going to be good at it.
Yes.
Harrison.
I would fly with him, though. He actually, one of the planes... Yeah. No, I would, because that would mean I was with him, and I would be okay dying with him if we crashed somewhere. But he flies a plane that my boyfriend's uncle is a higher-up in the company. Bell Helicopter.
So you're close.
Interesting.
So we're, like, really close.
You and he's like my dad now. Best friend.
Yeah. Well, he bought the one of the... They had several planes, but he loved the plane so much he bought it. It's a de Havilland Beaver. Canadian.
You know what I want?
A beaver.
The money to just be like, beaver. I really liked this. Let me buy it.
Yeah. I can't even do that with, like, food.
Yeah,
like, I'll look at the menu and be like, I really want this. I will take the chips with the side of guacamole.
And a glass of water.
And water. Tap.
Thank you.
Free.
Thank you.
And I'm not going to tip you.
Well, he jokes that now he's only making movies for, like, you know, the gas. You can fly.
Where all the planes he wrecks.
So, many times we like to highlight how many times Harrison Ford tried to kill himself by doing his own stunts.
I want to guess which one it was.
Go for it.
Because as I was watching this, granted, I only
there
watched
a couple, but one of
40 minutes of this movie because I said, I'm good. I think it's when they're trying to get those canoe things down the water. When that thing is around his neck, I'm like, that boy hurt himself at some point.
He fell down the waterfall.
Yep. Yeah.
That is 100%.
I was like, wrapped like up his legs, and Ivan Reitman was like, oh my God, are you okay? And he went, I'm fine. I can do it again, same price. Because he's Harrison Ford. But he also tumbled 30 feet into a lagoon off a rock slide.
Wait, you just bypassed that moment.
What did you just say? What?
So hot, and I said, dumbass, at the same exact time.
I can't read and listen at the same time. That's my problem.
She went, so hot, I just went, dumbass.
Most dumbasses are pretty hot.
Ugh. Never. I would just bone that dum dum so hard.
He looks like your dad.
I would call him daddy.
Oh!
And it would be extra weird for me.
Both parties involved.
I'm so grossed out right now. I have to see my dad soon.
I will change the subject. I think I've talked about it on the show before that Harrison Ford picks out his own clothes. Cut to Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, like, I'm going to go shopping now. But the thing that I always find funny is that he has a watch collection, and he always makes sure that his character has this very specific watch.
Is he fucking Steve Trevor?
What is he? Where it's like, no, Harrison, you just want to keep the watch afterwards. And I just noticed that he had this watch, and I thought, that's not really conducive in this tropical island.
Yeah, neither was her engagement ring that she kept on. And I'm like,
yeah, I was surprised it didn't fall off.
And then conveniently came up to her face when she went to make out and was like, oh I forgot. Oh, forget.
Also, Anne Heche broke her ankle the second week of shooting.
Good. That's
I
mean.
Hope it hurt.
No. That's mean. I wish no ill will on anyone.
That's the thing, neither do I. And she, you know, she's had a lot of trouble, but she hurt Ellen's heart. And that bothers me.
How dare you? That's a national treasure, Ellen DeGeneres.
She really is. I mean, and honestly, she had the last laugh because Ellen went from losing sponsors, her show being canceled, being left by the woman that she loved, and now she is one of the biggest talk show hosts in the history of the world.
Someone who doesn't know who Ellen is.
Right?
You can't.
Yeah, she's as big as Oprah.
You can call her Dory now, too, which a lot of people do at my work.
They just call her Dory?
They're like, the Dory girl. The Dory woman.
How
like,
do you forget Ellen's
Ellen?
Name?
Ellen?
It's called Ellen. The show's called Ellen.
Yeah. It's Dory.
All of her shows have been called Ellen.
Yeah.
Although originally Ellen was called These Friends of Mine or Friends Like Mine. But they changed it because Friends was such a huge hit. So the first season of Ellen is called something else. I was really into that show.
Ellen?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Ellen still.
I do.
I like... when she brought Kristen Bell on with the sloth.
No, she's talking about the show Ellen, not Ellen.
I remember that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the talk show with
her. Her TV show is called Ellen, and the talk show is The Ellen DeGeneres Show.
Oh, but people call it Ellen.
They just call it Ellen. Yeah. But it's The Ellen DeGeneres Show.
But I did like Ellen the show too. Yeah. But I'm stuck in the present, and I don't look in the past that often.
Right. Right. So I like just not the talk Ellen about this movie. Part. You're talking about Ellen now. I like the Ellen part where she made Chris Pine sing to a, like, pine nut, like one of the crazy Chris Pine fans.
Oh, my gosh.
And you could tell he was like, God damn it. This girl was like, the entire time, and it was great. Ellen was like, this is fantastic. I'm like, I love Ellen.
I like when Diane Keaton gets drunk on the show. That's really fun.
Yeah.
Oh. All right, let's summarize.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Do your summary.
Oh, boy.
Are you going to do it in 3 sentences this time, or are you going to do, like, your full summary?
I mean, I could, or I could do a full summary. Let's do both. 3-sentence summary. High-class business lady goes on a trip. It goes awry. She crash lands on an island with Harrison Ford. They fall in love while pirates are trying to kill them. That's the movie.
It's like a haiku.
That sounds better than the movie.
That's how they pitch the movie, and then this happened.
The pirates have, like, 3 minutes of screen time, but they're, like, the most terrifying thing ever. But it's just, like, they're bumbling idiots.
Yeah, who can't shoot. Here's my thing. And
yeah, they're bad shots.
When did they why are they there? I don't remember.
They're just robbing boats.
Yeah, they rob boats.
But then why are they targeting them? They have a broken
because
plane.
They saw them shoot someone.
Yeah.
They murdered
a
man.
Who did they shoot?
The man in the yacht.
Yeah.
There was
Harrison
a man in the
actually
yacht.
Says all this. He's like, we got to go because they saw us. This is the only time that
they'll kill us
makes
if
sense.
They see us.
Yeah.
It's the one this time. This was in the 40 minutes that you watched 2 years ago.
Okay. Great.
That was that exposition.
And then I started when they are like in the woods and there's or the jungle and there's terrible dialogue where she's like, I really like
making out with you. Is that her?
I really like making out with you too.
Is that her bra or is she wearing a bathing suit? Okay.
Bathing suit.
Because I thought it was a bathing suit, but then I was like, you had all of those clothes in that bag?
She was going to a photo shoot for 15 hours. You got to pack
so
six outfits.
She had three pairs of shorts?
You have to pack six outfits.
Yeah. I mean, do you not change your outfit every 3 hours?
When I'm Barbie.
How often are you Barbie? Because I change my outfits all the time.
Yeah,
that's not true. I wear the same things all the time. Yeah, Amy. She would.
Oh, boy.
All right, I'm just going to talk about Allison Janney.
Who was in
her.
The movie for 2 minutes.
Exactly.
Beautiful minutes.
Allison Brooks Janney, born November 19th, 1959. Is it seven time, prime time?
We're both Scorpios.
I'm born in November.
Are you a Scorpio?
No, I'm a Sagittarius.
All the men in my family are Scorpios. But shush. I must. 7 Primetime Emmy Award winner.
Wow.
Allison Janney. This was a really big year for her.
She was in 6 Days and 7 Nights.
No, I just can't go through
it. Just this movie.
No, I can't do it. I can't do it with a straight
face. Go ahead.
I was going to give a love letter to her. Now I'm just going to laugh
my ass
sorry.
Off. I couldn't keep a straight face.
Allison Brooks Janney made her Broadway debut at the age of 37.
Oh, man.
Take that.
Her.
In Present Laughter. She was Tony nominated for A View from a Bridge. She was in Private Parts, The Ice Storm, and Big Night before this movie came out.
Private Parts like Howard Stern?
Yeah. She's his boss in it. She's awesome.
Wowie.
But in 1998, she did this was like a peak year for Allison Janney. Like, I wasn't kidding. She did this movie. She did a TV movie called David and Lisa. She did Celebrity, which is a Woody Allen movie. She did The Imposters, which is a brilliant movie. The Object of My Affection and Fell Down a Flight of Stairs in Primary Colors caught the eye of a Mr. Aaron Sorkin, who then cast her as C.J. Craig, one of the best characters on television in The West Wing. Tweet me, because I will talk about her all day long. I think she's okay. You know, she's fine.
She's fine. Whatever. Allison
also,
Janney.
If she had her Broadway debut at 37, 39?
37.
When did she start doing film? Because Broadway debut, that doesn't mean anything. I was like, good for her, starting late. Then I was like, oh no, she probably did like 20 years of film. Really?
She did not.
We could all be Allison Janney.
Oh my gosh. Her first big thing was really like Guiding Light around 92, 93.
How old was she for her?
I can't do math, so I don't know.
She went into her life at a good time. No,
she did.
She had her life laid ahead of her, and she aged into herself. That's the word I was looking for. She aged into herself.
She was so tall. She said that it was so hard for people to cast her, so she always was cast as older anyway. So she had a feeling that when she would get older. No, but it's this idea of like, oh, she's so much. She's 6'1".
She's for a woman.
So a 6'1" woman with all of these different people who.
She's a fart tower? I said she's a whole foot taller than.
Oh, Jesus. That would be weird. But then in 99, she did American Beauty, Drop Dead Gorgeous, and 10 Things I Hate About You. And 99 is near the West Wing as well.
10 Things I Hate About You, arguably her best work.
Could be.
Cat.
Where she's the cat. Creepy.
When she's writing the fan fiction.
Yes. And she's talking about his, like, schlong. But she's using, like, sausage.
What does she say? What's a word for engorged or something?
So, I remember watching that.
Like, about that part in that movie, and it is so good. The best.
That's her whole role, is literally her just writing a smut fan fiction on, like, a typewriter in, like, night, in, like, what?
So, again, not 99? Kidding. This was, like, she just was, like, I'm going forward, and I'm going to be awesome. And then she was awesome for the rest of her life.
I want to be awesome forever.
I want to have a career where I play a character writing fanfic.
That you could do that now.
I think that you would be really great at that.
I'd be fantastic. Yeah. I was reading something.
And since we're talking about the actors, David Schwimmer, this was the end of the fourth season of Friends. That's all I got.
Good. I hope his career dies.
I liked him as Kardashian, but he is sort of doing his French shtick in this. Like, he seems to be playing Ross Geller as just, like, not a nice guy.
Listen, after seeing that man in person, there's no one I hate more. I hated Tom Cruise more, and then my friend Hannah...
Did he do something to you that you hate him?
Yes.
What did he do?
He was just... My mom loved Friends. We were in a Barnes & Noble in California, and he walked in. She goes, oh, go talk to David Schwimmer for me. They love little kids, because she didn't want to go to it, and I was like 11.
Oh, that's always...
Yeah. Like, it was like 11 or 12, so I was like, okay. And I walked up to him, and I was like, hi, can I have your autograph? And he goes, if you walk with me. And I was like... Excuse me? And he goes, you have to walk with me if you want me to sign anything for you. Like, he wasn't going to stop. And I was like, okay. And I stood where I was. And he goes, don't you want an autograph? And I was like, doing it for my mom. And he was like a douchebag. Like, I was like 12. I was like, I don't like this. And I, like, my smart ass brain thought it, but I never said it. And I thought about it, and I was like, oh boy, big-headed David Schwimmer, who all he is now is the fucking voice of the giraffe in Madagascar.
I would love but, like, it if I wish 11-year-old said that to him. You're stupid. You're just the voice of the giraffe. I mean, I don't even... This is for my mom.
I've done that before, and I've told her this. I have this thing, if I see a celebrity and I don't really want to talk to them, my brain, like, short circuits, and I just say their name and I don't mean to. Like, I did it to Michael Shannon. I've done it to, like, a bunch of people, but I just, like, will nod and walk away because I'm like, I don't want to talk to you. I was just... That was me recognizing that I knew who you were to myself.
Michael Shannon.
Yeah, this walk away. Well, I did it to Matthew Broderick, and I didn't mean to, and I was like, oh my God, Matthew Broderick. And he goes, I'm in a hurry. I'm trying to get to a show. And I went, okay, Simba, calm down. And the minute I said it, I was like, and I was like, never again am I going to talk to Matthew Broderick. And he, like, looked at me, and I just beelined. I was like, you're like, sorry, I meant it, but sorry. And I was like, nope, leaving, goodbye. Just walked away.
Bye, Ferris, please don't hate me.
Yeah, I was like, oh. And then I saw him again. I just took a picture of him from real far away. It was like my mortal enemy, Matthew Broderick.
That's so funny.
Yep. So, maybe I did say that to David Schwimmer. Who knows? But.
So, what do we think of Harrison's performance in this movie?
Oh, it's bad.
It's bad.
It's bad. He looks good, but it's bad.
He tries to. That's exactly what I was saying before, where he thinks that he's being slapsticky and funny, but he's not. He's just like, he goes through the motions of sporadically being slapsticky and doing funny things, like when he's trying to take off his pants to be the guy that's like, hey, I'm your pilot, and he's like hopping around and he just takes off his pants, which is, it's really hard for people that are just ruggedly good looking to look silly when they do something, like he was taking off his pants, and I was like, you can hop around all you want, kid.
Here's the thing.
I like it.
It's possible, but you all, like, okay, two brilliant examples are Chris Hemsworth and Chris Pine. Both of them did it perfectly, where they look like morons and you're laughing, but you're also still like, you're hot, but you're also really funny. Harrison Ford is just like, I'm hot and I'm trying to be funny, and it doesn't work.
No.
Like, he's like, him as a person is funny.
Yeah.
But
he's not physical comedy funny.
No. He's like,
He's witty, he's dry, not even funny humor.
He's funny because he's a wise ass.
Yeah.
That's how he's funny. He's not funny because he's funny.
Yeah.
His attitude is what's funny. And that Harrison Ford being Harrison Ford,
being that's a curmudgeon makes funny. Him funny.
Truth in comedy.
Yeah, exactly. But when Harrison Ford is trying to, it's like me trying to do dry humor. I can't. Well, that's not true. I'm good at every comedy.
Ain't anyway, great at comedy.
Can do all the comedy. I don't know. He just has this way of, he's like too angry to be funny. Because even when he's being slapsticky, it seems like he's mad at his pants.
I want that movie. That's the movie I want.
But I feel like they were both sort of being big. So I wonder if it was the direction. Or, and Ivan Reitman said it was the hardest film for him to ever film because of the stunts. And sometimes getting to set, they had to take a helicopter to get up on the mountain. Because Dave, they're not walk. Big in Dave. They're very subdued and natural.
Yeah, so, but then he also did Ghostbusters. That's right. Not an excuse. Yeah.
Animal House. Animal House is hugely big performance.
Yeah, I was like, then he had Bill Murray. And here's my thing. I think you have someone like Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd, like, you have that Ghostbusters cast, and then you make this movie, and you're like, oh, okay, it's the same kind of, not same kind of deal, but same kind of, like, you have to have a little bit of slapstick, you have to be funny naturally to pull off this role.
And not people like Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd, who, and of course, Dan Aykroyd wrote Ghostbusters, so that helps,
yeah.
Who were going to improv on set, and then you have all this footage that you can then edit together.
Yeah, where this movie is like,
they were like, Harrison Ford, improvise. And he's like, how would I fall over this log right here?
Yeah.
Great script, trying to find places to, like, punch it up, maybe. Whereas Dave is a wonderful script.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go see Dave, guys. Just don't watch this movie. Yeah. Just go rent Dave. It's amazing.
I think they couldn't choose between whether they wanted him to be slapsticky funny or the hero that saves the day. And that's a problem. Right. Because he was slapsticky funny, but then he had to be the rock and the support to get through everything.
He felt uneven.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would go, because he would do the Harrison Ford thing. Because Harrison Ford can be funny, but it's when Harrison Ford is Harrison Ford.
Right.
It's not when you write, like, why Han Solo works is because Han Solo is basically Harrison Ford, and he hates that that's Harrison Ford. Like, he's like, I'm going to be Indiana Jones. I'm like, nah, bitch, you're Han Solo. Yeah. Like, you're a curmudgeon who hates people. Like, you're Han Solo.
It's like that line in The Force Awakens when they say, you know, you're Han Solo, and he goes, I used to be. That's something that Harrison Ford says in real life that they put in the script.
Yeah, it's so, like, my brother and I have had many a conversation where it's like, Indiana Jones is the one you always want to be because he's, like, smart, he's hot, he's, like, watch. He doesn't need to be funny. Right. He's, like, a smartass, but he doesn't need to be funny. Where
he's got tenure.
Yeah, but, like, he's just, like, smart, quirky, dry sense of humor, a little bit like Harrison Ford. But the reason Han Solo is a funny character that works is because they wrote Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
And they were like, here you go, this is Han Solo. And he didn't hate playing Han Solo, but, like, you can tell, like, out of all of them, he's like, no. Blade Runner and Indian, you're like, no, dude.
I think
you're
the issue is, for a long time, he didn't really see Han as a smart character. Which, you know, Leia is much smarter than Han.
He has street smarts.
Yeah, which is a difference. But compared to Indiana Jones, they always try to compare Han Solo and Indiana
but
Jones.
But Indiana Jones does the dumbest shit, too.
Yeah. That was like, he's more of a scholar.
Because
he's a professor.
For a nuclear blast.
And he survived. I know.
I'm talking about the first three movies.
Indiana Jones also does stupid shit. That's such dumb logic. That makes him more like Han Solo. That he's like, Indiana Jones is smarter. I'm like, just because he's a professor does not mean he's smarter. Indiana Jones does the dumbest shit and
bring that up to Harrison Ford when you meet him.
Yeah, Harrison, both of those characters are dumb as shit. Like, they're smart, but they're also dumb. Like, there's like,
all right,
sorry.
So we play a game sometimes that we didn't get a chance to play, which is, what movie did Harrison Ford turn down this year? So would you like to play this game, ladies?
Yes.
Okay, as a tag team or separate? Decide.
Tag team. I like friends.
Okay.
Tag.
Awesome. Plus, okay. I'd hate to drag Rachel through the dirt.
I'm real bad at this game, but it's fine.
I will be too.
Well, actually, you once guessed it before I answered the question.
Which one did I guess?
The president one.
Oh, American president.
Yeah. I tried to ask for Air Force One, which of these president movies did Harrison
and
Ford
I just was like,
down?
American president.
I didn't even say it yet. I was like, she's right. I'm
and
just
I was
done.
Like,
I'm
what?
Done.
And like,
doesn't
flip
matter.
Out.
She'll retire then.
I gave it
and
away.
I retired.
All right. So, which movie did Harrison Ford turn down in 1998? One, Bruce Willis's role in Armageddon. Two, Tom Hanks's role in Saving Private Ryan. Or three, Robin Williams' role in What Dreams May Come.
Three.
No.
Only because I love it so
that's
much.
That's one of my favorite movies, and I would be devastated if that's what it was. Well, actually, I'd be, like, thankful because Robin Williams got it.
What was
but
the one?
I'm going to say...
Should I repeat them?
Well, it was Bruce Willis.
Oh, right.
In What Dreams May Come.
Armageddon.
Tom Hanks
and Tom
Saving
Hanks.
Private Ryan. Or Robin Williams
in
What Dreams
May Come. I'm going to say Armageddon.
I'm going to honestly say Armageddon as well.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, it is once again Mr. Spielberg. He said no to Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, that's fine. As long as it wasn't What Dreams May Come.
Yeah.
Because that's such a heartbreaking movie.
So heartbreaking.
I love that movie so much.
I think it's underrated. He also turned down The Thin Red Line, but I had never heard of this movie, so
I think I would know. I used to own it.
Oh, tell us about it. It's Sean Penn, right?
I never saw it, but I owned it.
Oh, you owned
it. So I know it exists. I know that's like actually a crazy thing, but...
No, I have one of those too.
I lived next to a Taco Bell, but I never went in.
The fuck?
You have way more willpower than
Taco
I
Taco Bell
ever
is
were.
My favorite restaurant.
Oh, if I was... Anytime I came home drunk, I would have been in that Taco Bell.
They would have known me by name. You are a...
They had
alien.
One... No, here's the reason. They had one on my college campus, and it was so bad... That I just, like, I was done. I couldn't even look
even
at it.
That's me with, like, Wood Ranch Grill in California.
Wood Ranch Grill?
Very specific.
Yeah. Like, one mom
well,
and pop place.
No, it's like, there's like a chain of them in Southern California, but I ate their ribs. And then the next day we were going to, like, Knott's Berry Farm, and I got so violently sick at Knott's Berry Farm because of these ribs that I was like, till the day I die, I will never eat those ribs again. And I haven't. And
wow,
we used
you.
To go back when I still lived there, and I was like, no way in hell am I getting their ribs. I didn't.
Good for you.
I love that story so much, Rachel.
I try, really.
I like the visual representation I have in my brain of what happened.
At Knott's Berry Farm.
At Knott's Berry Farm.
With my head in the trash can.
It's a great
We'll put
a
picture,
place.
We'll do a sketch. We'll put it up on the show notes.
Yeah, a sketch of me with my head in the trash can.
Yeah.
Should I read some reviews?
Yes. Cool. Sure.
Okay. A Tracy Hepburn dynamic is meant to add spice to the situation, and to some degree it does. That's like a kind of like...
Is that the whole review?
No, I'm just reading sections of it.
Okay.
Oh, I
thought that was the whole thing.
And Mr. Ford make an appealing, wisecracking team, and they look comfortable with the rigid demands of their roles. I feel like people were like, oh, she's believable with a man, which is because the 90s sucked. Like, you forget how far we've come until, like, I was doing all this research and watching, like, all these interviews with Anne and Ellen and being like, oh my God, we have gone such far away. Here's the one that Rachel will appreciate. Oh, by the way, that was the New York Times. This is Roger Ebert. Whenever pirates turn up in a romance set more recently than 1843, you figure the filmmakers ran out of ideas.
Can we please go read his review for Pirates of the Caribbean?
Like, now?
Yeah. It was like, what did he think? He wrote that, and then what did he think about Pirates of the Caribbean?
Alive when they came out?
Yeah, I think the very first one, because I was still in California, so that was like 2005.
I'm thinking of Gene Siskel, because Gene Siskel compared Harrison Ford to Cary Grant in this movie, and I do not agree.
No.
I don't know
where that came from.
You know who would have been a great fit for that role? Jimmy Stewart.
Oh my gosh.
Talk about slapstick. I do
Back
have a
then,
point
you
out.
Mean, like if they no. mean, like in the 40s or do you mean like in the
no,
90s? Because that would have been a really different movie.
The 90s when he was dead already? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I said. Back to zombies. It's a full circle.
It's a full circle. I do want to point out that I had somehow gotten crumbs inside my leggings. Because for a second, my hand was out my pants because there was something in my pants and there was a crumb from my pizza. So I'm a terrible human being.
That sounds like you're saving something for later.
Yeah. This crumb in my
sounds
leg.
Smart.
This was a $70 million budget and it made $72 million nationwide.
$72 million.
Yeah.
I thought it made 90 something.
Hey, sometimes things change. Please look it up for me. I had that it made $72 million nationwide and $80 foreign. It had a 16.5 opening weekend.
$164.8 million box office.
But that's combined.
That's combined to everything.
Yeah.
That's minus 70.
So it made a good amount.
I mean, they said it did better in Europe because people in Europe didn't care who she kissed off camera.
Ew, we're the worst.
We really are. We're Puritans.
Yeah,
we're,
do you not... Was that not made clear recently when there was a problem with a woman-led movie? I was like, we still
I'm
suck.
Just kidding. I was like, I'm just kidding.
Crystal, in 1998...
We always suck.
Oh, sorry.
No, we're fine. Go ahead.
In 1998, Harrison was voted in the Quigley poll of theater owners the most popular box office draw in the world. He said...
That makes sense.
They hadn't seen Indiana Jones and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull yet.
Again, this is 1998. and he said, I think my audience follows me not because of me, but because I have been in good movies. He always sells himself short.
It's because
he
of him.
He doesn't get his charisma.
I think they all do.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's hard when it's you.
But no, right? I think all Unless three you have of a huge them do. Ego. I think Mark does too. They all, like, Mark's like, oh, I'm Luke and I'm the voiceover. We're like, no, you're a great dude.
Yeah, you're fun.
And he does the same thing. Like, they all do. I think because they went from nobodies to, like, phenomenon so quickly, where it's, like, a lot of these, like, and same with, well, Shatner is the opposite.
Yeah.
But,
like,
that's the thing. I mean, Shatner's the opposite case. God. But
for people who don't have an ego, I think that when it's you, mm-hmm. it's hard for you to go, oh, yeah, I'm that great, which is wonderful that you are humble, you know. But he doesn't, Harrison doesn't think he's attractive, and that I don't get. At least you would get it from the reaction of women to you. To get, I guess I must be attractive then.
It's all of, but it's that
he's a sex symbol and has been named so by People magazine.
It's different. Like if you were like, listen, I know I bring him up a lot, but it's just an easy way for me to talk.
Chris Pine
was not hot when he was younger. Like there were pictures, he was ugly.
He's not.
I love my little baby boy, but he was ugly. He and so they're like. The Star Trek cast were like all showing pictures and they were young and it was like, oh, this girl, like it was like very clear who everyone was. There was a picture of Chris Pine and they were all like, I have no idea who that is. And he goes, come on, man, it's me. And they were all like, you don't look like that at all. And he's like, yeah, I do. And at that moment was like, oh, this man doesn't realize that he is literally crafted from gods right now. Like, he went from like an ugly duckling to like the fucking black swan of beauty.
And he still like, thinks he's ugly.
And no, it's
duckling.
Him. Like I you can see his face no, in the center there.
But I'm saying like, and Harrison Ford was never ugly, but Harrison Ford also had like a rougher start. Mm-hmm. So I think in his mind, he's like, no, I'm just that kid who did like, it's like when you're a certain way, it gets stuck in your head and you're like, I still look like that. You're like, no,
how old was Shatner? I mean, was he younger? Because sometimes when you're younger.
No, Shatner was like 40.
Okay.
So I just looked up like the picture of Chris Pine when he was younger and he looks like someone that would work in a motorcycle shop.
No, that's not even the worst one. That's like an okay one. Like, there's one where he literally has acne, like glasses and like this beanie thing on it. It's bad. Hold on. Let me look up Shatner that you asked.
Okay, while we do that, should I do a commercial for our sponsor?
Yeah. It includes
gifts. For our guest.
Yes.
Because that's what we do here.
What?
Oh, my God. Yes. So our sponsor is Haas Urban, haasurban.com. Natural skin products made originally for actors, but they're really for everybody. And they have this amazing line of lip glides that are all named after and probably taste like alcoholic beverages.
Oh, heck yes.
So you can have... Chardonnay as a thank you gift for being on the show, or we have some really awesome iconic cream cleanser, which everyone should definitely check out.
Chardonnay.
I knew you would go with that. And then also as a thank you, you can either have this amazing sticker for your...
Yes.
Okay, the choice has been made. I had a feeling you'd go with this one as well, but if everyone listening wants to know, the other option was a cartoon Indiana Jones.
Keeping old Harrison Ford.
Old Harrison.
Here's a picture of your dad.
I love old Harrison. William Shatner was the same age as Harrison Ford was when he got big.
Interesting. Okay.
He was 35.
So ego just sometimes happens.
Wait, William Shatner, though, got his comeuppance. Because I don't even think he was that hot as Kirk.
I love it.
But
cute.
William Shatner went from like, oh, he's hot, every girl wants to bang him, to like, this old man needs to quit.
Yeah.
Well, no, he wasn't this... Yeah, he was the same age. His was just earlier. Never mind.
Yeah.
Because he was 35, but Star Trek was 66. Mm-hmm. Where Star Wars wasn't until 70s.
so it doesn't really matter.
No, I'm saying like.
Oh no, no, I know what you're saying. I just meant that because sometimes there it does happen, so it's not completely fake. That a lot of actors who start out when they're younger, because that's all they really know, tend to have more of an ego. But nothing is ever universal.
It depends on how it happens, though, because like, look at the fucking because it's this day and I love it so much. The Harry Potter kids. Like, none of them do. Like, I've met Daniel Radcliffe. He's, like, the nicest human being on the planet. And he's Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Like,
if I may say, though, I'm thinking more, like, young adult as opposed to, like,
children.
Yeah. Because I think people who have a really good home life and have... Because that's such a... When you become famous as a kid, like, that can really mess you up, as we have seen it can do. So... I've noticed, and again, every human is different, that some of the kids who were able to go on to be really awesome adults had a really good home life and someone who grounded them. Because if you don't have that... Yeah.
You have to be grounded. You have to know when you're doing something wrong.
You have to ground your comedy.
Oh, ground, that kind of ground. Yeah,
you have to ground your comedy.
Again,
go sit
circle.
In the corner for a week. No pizza for you. You're grounded comedy.
So we covered everything that everyone wants to talk about with this movie. Shirtless Harrison, over the top.
Oh, I did try and take a picture,
we don't like Anne
but you
Hage.
Can't.
A picture of what?
When he makes the... When she's like, how old are you? And he's like, I'm good for my... Or
oh, it's a gif.
What?
A gif? A gif?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a gif.
It is?
Yeah.
Good, because he looks good where he's like... I'm good at... I don't know what he says.
Tons of sexual innuendos about his prowess and him and his plane.
But you know what? It's fine. He looked real good right there. And I was like, oh yeah, I do love Harrison Ford. Because I go in and out of my love of people.
Yeah.
But for some reason, him and this one, I'm pointing at my framed picture of
again,
Chris Pine.
Again, podcast pointing.
Him and Chris Pine
to Harrison Ford point.
Forever. I don't understand.
So is Colin Firth, who also is a picture, is he fading?
No.
No, you're still cool.
Who doesn't love Colin Firth, though?
Not I.
That's
I
like a hot picture.
That's true,
but,
yeah.
But he got old fast.
He did.
He went from like... Colin Firth to like, oh, this man's almost 60. Yep. Like, you're like, oh, right. You're almost 60.
Hey, genetics British. Are a bitch.
Like, Bridget Jones's Diary or Bridget Jones's Baby came out, and I was like, oh, my boy, you're old. Like, you went from like baby face to old.
So, Rachel, there's something that happens when
it's called
a man
process.
And a woman come together. And live over a long period of time.
Oh, I was like, is she going to go through all of life?
No. I guess like, she's going to go through all of life. What happens when they fuck?
This is what happens when they fuck.
Oh, when they fuck. Oh, that's a whole other story.
You know what movie I'm excited about? Oh, another. Well, you know what? We were told that people like our side rails and we don't like the movie. We talk about everything else except for the movie.
That's awesome.
But no, I love that Jeff Bridges is in the new Golden... I was like Golden Compass in the new Kingsman Golden Circle movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because Jeff Bridges, guys,
we've talked about him on the show.
Yeah. I love Jeff Bridges.
Reminds
but not
over
in
dad.
A
right.
hot way.
You guys
I
can bond
Jeff
over
Bridges.
That.
I know I don't think Jeff Bridges is attractive. I love
I
Jeff,
do. I but, love dads.
Oh, I love dads. Why do you think I loved Chris Pine in Hell or High Water? He had like grown sons and I was like, yeah. I was like, yes, hot dad.
Get it.
Hot dad. Daddy. Anyways,
Daddy.
I really hope Nanny. You don't name this episode Hot Daddy.
Oh, you just named this episode as Hot Daddy. And they're going to what are they talking about? 6 days and seven nights. Or six
oh,
days, 7 nights.
Wait, hold on. No. Breaking news. Crystal Beth tried the lip glide.
It glides on so smooth and silky.
Oh, what one did you
speak
get?
Speak that into the...
Chardonnay. I bought the...
You bought.
I was handed the house Chardonnay. And I put it on my mouth instead of in my stomach, and it feels good on it.
This is the
we
best commercial we've
wine.
Ever had.
We can get real wine. You can pair it with your
actually,
lip
I'm looking forward to when we do Morning Glory, because I'm bringing...
Frittatas?
We're calling it the one with the frittata. Like, that's the title of that episode. We're doing it.
But
I'm
bringing... great. Frittata.
I'm bringing us a bottle of Keaton wine.
We've had champagne on the podcast. Those glasses are still on my desk.
When we did Sabrina, it was awesome. And I almost thought of bringing it. And I was like, no, we shouldn't drink. And then our lovely guest, Carly Lane, brought it. And I'm like, you read my mind. And I'm so happy you brought champagne. So, Crystal Beth, do you want to tell the audience where they can find you?
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheCrystalBeth. And you can follow my podcasts on iTunes. I have one called The Fifth Element, where I talk about the fifth element minute by minute. And I also have a video game podcast called Unlimited Lives Radio, both available on iTunes. And... Yeah, I go on the internet.
So, Rachel, where can they find you?
On the tweets. It's at Rachel Leishman. On Tumblr, I'm Rach Solo. You can follow me on Instagram at Rachel_Leishman. Follow my writings on...
Here we go.
Hello, Giggles, Culturists, Wizards and Whatnot. Sometimes on Pop Rap, sometimes on Fangirlish. Also listen to Hard Bodies, podcast about hot dudes and their bodies at work, which I've said on here on accident. And, yeah. You can watch my comedy.
If you're only in New York, though.
Only if you're in New York.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You should come.
If you have come if you to New York and see my money, comedy. She'll perform private for you.
Yeah.
Well, ooh, speaking of, maybe we should add that to our Patreon, because our Patreon is up. You can go on our show notes or on our website and link to our Patreon. If people don't know what Patreon is, it is a great place to support the podcast, because now we are going to be doing another extra year of the podcast, which is great.
Yay.
But it's taking us longer to go through the Ford Canon, or the full Ford, as I like to call it, than we thought.
We were very hopeful.
We were hoping, like a goal. We were hoping to finish before the next Star Wars came out, and that comes out in December, so we're only in 98, so not going to happen. But we try. Okay. We try. So hopefully we'll be able to come out before the next, the Han Solo movie. I keep saying next, but, and we'll talk more about that later. Yeah.
I want Ron Howard to narrate it.
I know. Arrested Development style.
Awesome.
I made that joke and was so proud of myself, and then proceeded to see like 80 other people make that joke. No. I was like, no.
Yep.
But anyway, so the Patreon is a place where you can sign up for monthly donations anywhere from $1 to $5 to $10, and it comes with different things. So maybe we should have it come with see Rachel do comedy, but, you know, we'll see.
We can do that. Come with I will send you an audio of me calling you daddy, whatever you want.
All the levels have really amazing things that come with it.
I like
or
that.
Maybe you want to suggest something for Rachel to do for you.
Oh,
but we're
going
to actually give you stuff. And special content at some point as well, by being on one of the levels and things that come with it. They're all named after Harrison Ford characters. Or if you're like, you know what? I love this. I just can't afford to give once a month. If you want to go to our webpage, which is thefordcastpodcast.com, you can just go donate us something a little bit. Or if you can't donate money, you can give us time and go on iTunes and give us an amazing review. If you've already reviewed us, tell your friends to review us, because the more reviews that we get, the more that iTunes will throw us out into the world, and more people will find the love of this show.
So either Harrison Ford will find it, or one of my other crushes will find it first, and I'll be like, no.
Yeah,
or you'll get married.
I've been asked by people, so do you hope that Harrison Ford listens to this? And I go, no.
Same
God,
with
no.
Me.
Please never.
I'm like, I call you a child toucher, and it often, so don't.
I had to decide when I said yes to this to know that I would never work with him one day.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to.
Yeah, it seems like a rough...
There's like with me, I was like, I do want to work with like Chris Pine one day, but I feel like he... Like, when I wore that shirt and he looked at me, like, I could tell that man was like, that girl's a smartass. Like, he like...
Yeah.
It was one of those that he like rolled his eyes, and then I said some smartass thing, and it was like, oh, okay. Like, she's a smartass, it's fine. Where I'd like, Harrison Ford, I'd be like, I can't tell you I have a whole podcast dedicated to you.
No.
That'd be
no, and you
terrible.
Could probably not tell him, and he probably wouldn't find out, but it still would be, like, weighing on me.
I would be, like, every day, like, he's gonna...
Although, apparently, which I forgot to mention, Anne Heche said that Star Wars was the first movie she ever saw, so she was very starstruck for Mr. Ford.
Well, that's, like, the Blake Lively story. Have you ever heard that one?
Yeah, should we save it, though, for when we do the movie with her?
No, Age of Adeline is literally, like, 10 years down the line, we can just say. When they were doing Age of Adeline, she had no idea who Harrison Ford was. Like, she'd never really seen a Harrison Ford movie.
Wait, what?
She had never really seen a Harrison Ford movie.
She lived in a hole?
But it was funny, because she told that to Ryan Reynolds. And Ryan Reynolds was like, what are you talking about? And so Ryan Reynolds made her watch all the Indiana Jones movies. And so the next day, she went on to set, and, like, they were friends at first, and, like, he would take her on her plane. And then the next day, she was, like, asking him a million questions about Indiana Jones.
That's
kind of
sweet, actually.
And then he was, like, she goes, he didn't ask me back on the plane. And she geeked out. Or she, like, said something about Indiana Jones because Ryan Reynolds was like, you're going to watch all of the Indiana Jones movies.
I kind of think that's sweet.
Wow.
Me and Ryan Reynolds have a thing on Twitter now.
You have a thing on Twitter with everybody.
Well, the Ryan Reynolds one was an accident. I had retweeted his Father's Day thing, and someone liked my retweet of it, and I thought that he liked it, and so I tweeted, I was like, I thought someone liked Vanessa, whatever his thing is on Twitter, tweet, and I thought he was liking my tweets, and I got a huge ego because of it. So he liked that, and I was like, I like that the follow-up is that Ryan Reynolds liked the tweet about me getting an ego, so now I'm insufferable and no one can talk because I have such an ego. And then later down the line, one of his, like, fan accounts that is, like, all about Ryan Reynolds tweeted me and was like, oh my god, you're so lucky. And I tweeted, honestly, Ryan's lucky because I'm a gem of a person. And he liked that one. And I was great. Like, great. Thank you, Ryan Reynolds. Like, thank you. I'm so glad that this happened.
So funny. They don't know that. Just giving a like to someone when you're famous makes someone's day. I would just like the crap out of everything if I was famous.
Didn't Carrie Fisher do that a lot?
Carrie Fisher liked a lot of people's stuff.
Mark Hamill liked one of my tweets, and I lost my goddamn mind.
Mine too. And it was a joke, and I was so excited that he got it.
It's creepy, because him and Carrie follow me, so every once in a while, well, before it was like, I would post about an improv show, and Carrie Fisher would like it, and I'm like, are you coming? Like, what is this like me? And then with him, it's like, when I was tweeting about Carrie, he liked, like, all of them. I did tweet one that was like, I had to delete it because the person deleted the tweet, so it was like stupid. But it's someone was like calling her like a drug head or something rude. And to which I responded, and I was like, in the words of Carrie Fisher, and in emojis, I wrote, fuck you.
Oh, I saw that.
And Mark Hamill liked that one. And then, like, there was something else. The only one who I don't have to follow me is Billy Dee Williams.
Oh. Because
I have Peter Mayhew, I have Carrie, I have him, and I don't have Billy Dee. And then I have of the, like, kind of core ones, because Harrison Ford doesn't have Twitter.
Yeah, he never will.
Core.
And that's the core probably a good thing.
That's fine, but I want the core. I want all of them.
So if our audience also wants to win some of the amazing things that we gave to Crystal Beth, like the stickers of Harrison Ford or bigger gifts, you should follow us all over social media. Mm-hmm. We are on Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr at the Fordcast Podcast, and on Twitter at the Fordcast PC. You can only win contests if you follow us, or you can also, or hopefully do both. After this episode, go to our website and answer a trivia question to win a larger gift.
Maybe you can answer a question about the movie.
Yeah. What was it about? What did you think of it?
Because none of us clearly liked it.
No, we didn't. But we still, I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't hate it, like with the, what was it, A Clear and Present Danger. I actually really, I was like, oh, it's fun. They're fun. She had pretty outfits. She was funny. He didn't wear a shirt.
Yep.
This was at the start of his, like, I'm 50-year-old bod.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Where he never looked like he had that bod. Like, even when he was, like, Indiana Jones, where he was already in his 40s, he still was, like, built.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I say that, like, none of the Chrises are in their 30s and look as good as
you. Yeah.
I said that, like, they're all 20. They're all in their late 30s. But this was, like, the first time I was like, oh, he can't old. This is, like, old man bod.
It's that belly button. When the belly button starts to look like it's frowning. That's when you know the belly's getting old.
Oh, is that like sort of the automatic timer?
That's like the turkey pop.
Oh,
that's funny. Yeah.
The turkey pop.
Yep.
On that note, you can find me only on Twitter.
I was like, find Lauren on social media. Where can they find you is
only,
what I meant
only on Twitter. Although you technically can follow me on Instagram, but my Instagram says, I won't join Instagram, you can't make me, and I'm committed to that joke.
So she's just on there, but she doesn't do anything with it.
Because I probably should join now that I like have reasons to, but I'm so committed to that joke that I haven't done it yet.
That's funny.
So I am Lauren Milberger on Twitter, just for now. This has been so much fun.
Yeah, I like this. I liked it a lot. I love talking about Harrison Ford.
And apparently so do we.
So do we. Then we go on tangents. It's great.
Yes. Yeah. Oh.
Well,
pick another movie. You should come on again.
Oh, I will.
Yeah, she's going to be here. What's their next movie? Crystal Beth's like, I'm here.
I'll be here for the rest of it. You have a third co-host.
Crystal Beth.
I'll find my movie.
We should pick another bad one. Because it'll be fun.
Those are fun.
Firewall, Hollywood Homicide, the list is endless.
Firewall. Firewall.
Hollywood Homicide is... I don't know if I can say that.
That's why I've paired Hollywood Homicide with another film, because I can't bear us only talking about that for an hour.
I mean, we'll see how that goes, because that might be funny on its own.
Yeah.
Just trying to talk about Hollywood Homicide.
We, honestly, like, yeah, with the schedule.
Clearly we can.
The schedule can be changed.
The schedule no longer matters.
It's fluid.
It's fluid. Anyways.
On that note, thank you for joining us. Review us on iTunes, please.
Yep, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.